We're going to continue our series on Hebrews this morning, Better Things in Hebrews. And now last week we looked in Hebrews 1 and 2 about Jesus better than the angels. This week we're going to look at Jesus better than Moses, as the author is continuing to compare Jesus to various figures in the Old Testament. Now Hebrews, probably more than any other book, it's hard to say, right? Because you need to understand some about the prophecies to really grasp the Gospels. But probably more than any other book in the New Testament, Hebrews requires a decent knowledge of the Old Testament to fully understand. Now, that's because so many of the better things in Hebrews, we think about Hebrews as a book, they're comparing to Old Testament counterparts. Moses, Joshua, the priesthood, the temple, the covenant, the law, etc., etc. And these are Old Testament ideas, Old Testament stories, Old Testament things that the writer is comparing New Testament things to. So without a solid grounding in the Old Testament stories, it can be difficult to grasp the intended significance of what the writer is saying in the book of Hebrews. So we're going to cover in each lesson, right? Because we've got an outline that I put up last week, the outline of things we're going to talk about. In each lesson, we're going to cover the basics of the Old Testament references, but you've got in your bulletins, you've got that insert that has sermon notes, and then on the back is a guided devotional. I'm going to be using that space during the course of this series to give you some more reading about these Old Testament references, that we can have a greater and deeper understanding of what's being talked about in Hebrews, because I just can't, in 25 minutes, talk about all the things that you'd need to know about the Old Testament story to really bring out in the Hebrew lesson. So look at your bulletins if you're interested in doing that. I've tried to design those to be done on a variety of different levels. So if you want to do those with your kids or with your grandkids or you want to do those as a family, those are designed, I think, I hope, to be that way as well. What is or was Moses known for? You think about Moses, the character, towering figure in Scripture. I had the Scripture reading, the Transfiguration. Well, the reason that was the reading is that was a story that showed the significance of Moses, right? He was one of the figures, one of the great figures in biblical history. What was or is Moses known for? Well, his birth is pretty, a birth in hiding, right? Hiding in the reed, send him down the river in the basket. That's a pretty well-known story. We can think about the burning bush. That's a pretty well-known story as Moses encounters this burning talking bush in the wilderness. The 10 plagues in the Exodus, the Red Sea, of course, the crossing of the Red Sea, the 10 commandments. That's a thing that Moses is known for, I think. All the stuff in the desert, and I have stuff in the desert because there's a lot of things that go on in the desert that Moses is pretty well known for. And yet, more than these, two attributes, more than any others, mattered to the Israelites and why Moses was so significant in Israelite lore, for lack of a better word. In the Israelite mythos, Moses was this towering figure of importance, probably second only to David, although maybe Moses was more important than David. Maybe they're one in 1A. Moses and David in Israelite history. And two things, more than anything else, made Moses so important to the Israelites. As we go through a list of scriptures, these are all in the Gospels, note a commonality. And they asked him a question saying, "Teacher, Moses said," that's from Matthew 22, "the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat," that's in Matthew 23. "He answered them, 'What did Moses command you?' And they said, 'Moses allowed,'" that's in Mark 10, "'Now in the law, Moses commanded us,'" John 8:5. This is just a sampling, right? This is all throughout the Gospels. Moses was the preeminent lawgiver of God. He is the one that gave them the commandments and the laws and the regulations and all the things that Israel was supposed to do. And it's interesting, right? Because Moses didn't really command anything from a real perspective, a technical perspective. Moses was just a conveyor of information, right? A conduit, as it were. Because in the law, Moses does not command. Who commands? God commands, right? We understand that. And yet in the minds of the Israelites, this was you couldn't really separate the law from Moses. He was the lawgiver. He was the one that had given all these important laws, the national identity of Israel. And in their minds, the law was synonymous with Moses, the things that Moses said. He was the lawgiver of Israel. Now, in Numbers 12, 5 through 8, that's not what God cared about, mostly. God cared about Moses for a different reason. The Lord came, this is of course the reference that is made in Hebrews chapter 3. Now the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward. And he said, "Hear my words, if there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house." More faithful than your prophets, more faithful than your dreamers, more faithful than your visionaries. With him I speak mouth to mouth clearly, not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? What mattered to God more than the law giving was that he was faithful to God. Faithful in all my house. This is a reference, a quote, in Hebrews chapter 3, the beginning verses of Hebrews chapter 3. This is quoted in Hebrews chapter 3. And again, why I say it's so important to understand the Old Testament stories, that this quality of Moses, that he was faithful to God, that's what God cared about more than anyone else probably in history. Moses was faithful to God. What does that mean? He spoke only what the Lord wanted and no more. Why he was such a good lawgiver, why he was so impressive a figure in Israelite history, was he spoke what the Lord said to speak and not anything else. And so it became synonymous, the law, with Moses, the law that was given through Moses. Now in Hebrews 3 then, the writer draws on Moses as important to the Jews to make a profound point about Jesus. Right? Last week we looked at Jesus better than angels. This week he talks about, and not this week, but in chapter 3, he talks about Jesus as being better than Moses. And it's those two primary points. The lawgiver, which we looked at a lot last week, the spokesman of God, and being faithful in God's house. Hebrews 3, 1 and 2, "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who is faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house." Wait a minute. Are we saying that Jesus was an apostle? Because isn't that what the text is saying here? And it's important to note again, I'm probably a broken record on this, but whatever. The idea of transliteration versus translation, right? The word apostle, apostolos in the Greek, had a general meaning. The general meaning of the word, that being an ambassador or one sent on behalf of another. And in that sense, of course, Jesus was an apostle, right? He was sent on behalf of who? The Father. He was an ambassador for who? The Father. So yes, Jesus, the apostle, the one sent from God, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Now, he's also the high priest, which is going to come up later in the book of Hebrews. So just sort of tuck that back in your mind. Who is faithful to him who appointed him. Now, in this context, just as Moses was faithful, what does it mean to be faithful, to be full of faith? What does that mean? To carry out orders or instructions with accuracy and adherence to the intent. And it goes to the idea of apostle, right? The ambassador. That the ambassador is faithful to the one who sent him if what? If the ambassador conveys the appropriate message, if the ambassador behaves in a way that the one who sent him wants him to behave, that would be faithful. And it's an interesting way, particularly in Israel, in the way that Moses related to Israel, as a babysitter might faithfully care for children. You entrust your children to a babysitter, to someone who's going to care for your children. You want them to do what? You want them to care for your children as you would care for your children. To be faithful to your intent and desire as a parent. That's what you want. And that's what Moses was. Wasn't he the caretaker of Israel? And he was faithful as he cared for Israel. In what sense? He did what God wanted him to do. Just as Jesus was faithful in what God appointed for him to do. He carried out the instructions and the orders with accuracy and adherence to God's intent. Just as Moses was obedient and careful only to do what God wanted, so too was Jesus subservient to the will of the Father while on earth. You can think of a number of stories that demonstrate that point. Now, keep the term faithful in mind. Just keep that in your mind for this sermon, because we're going to come back to that term faithful, because the hinge of Hebrews chapter 3, the hinge from theory to practical, it hinges on this word faithful. Now, Jesus, of course, Hebrews 3:3, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, right? And why? Why is that? The question must be, of course, if we're talking about Jesus as better than Moses, which is the author's point, what makes Jesus better than Moses? Why is Jesus worth more glory than Moses was worth? And we asked the same question last week, right? Why was Jesus better than the angels? Well, a couple of things that point come out, really. Number one, Jesus is better than Moses because he built the house that Moses cared for. Hebrews 3:3-4. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. This idea of caretaker is important as we think about Moses. Moses was a faithful servant, yes, but his stewardship, the thing that he cared for, something that was placed in his care and not something that he created. He did not create the nation of Israel. He did not create all the laws that would come through him, right? He was given to those by God. God gave him the laws to say, the Ten Commandments, the tablets, all those different things. He did not create the nation of Israel. God did all the 10 plagues. It was God's power that brought them out of the land. Moses was the conduit. He was a steward of those things that were placed in his care. But he did not make the things that he cared for, as opposed to Jesus. The builder of all things, Hebrews 1:3, that he upholds all things by the word of his power. Hebrews 2:10, again, is another reference to Jesus being a creator of all things. Jesus, as the builder of all things, would be the one who gave the nation over to Moses. As their caretaker, what was Moses' primary job? To make sure, right? To give them the law, to make sure that they understood the things that God wanted them to do. This was the thing that he was most honored for. Making sure that Israel knew what God wanted them to do. That was his primary job as the caretaker of Israel. Yet in a very real sense, he only gave them what Christ first gave him. Moses did not come up with the laws, right? God in totality did, right? The totality, the Trinity of God came up with these laws. This would have been sacrilege to the Jews, right? To say that Jesus was the one who gave them all these laws. And in fact, isn't that why they killed him in the Gospels? They killed him precisely because he said that he was equal to God. He was the one that was there in the beginning of the nation of Israel as it was founded. He was the one who was preeminent above all things. That was the exact reason that they killed him, because they didn't like his blasphemy to equate himself with the Father. Number two, Jesus is better than Moses because he was given more to be faithful with. Moses was given a lot, obviously, a whole nation, the responsibility of conveying a whole set of laws for people to live by for thousands of years. It's a lot of responsibility. Not as much as Jesus was given, right? Hebrews 3:5-6, now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that would be spoken later, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house if we indeed hold fast our confidence and our boasting and our hope. The difference between a servant and a son, the idea, and we don't have this as much, I don't know, maybe we do today, the idea of servant in a household, a servant was entrusted with certain things that the servant was responsible for in the running of the house, the scope of authority that the servant might care for a particular portion of the estate, not a lot of us have estates. But the idea of you have a lot of things that needed cared for, and the servant would take care of some things and have the authority to perhaps hire out more contractors or maybe spend some of the family's money, as opposed to the son, of course, right? The son was in charge of the servant. The firstborn, the inheritor, the one who would inherit all the stuff in the estate, he, of course, had much more authority than the steward, the servant. The servant might be in charge of a portion of the estate, but the son was in charge of all of it. And it was the son's responsibility to maintain and care for what would eventually be his. The servant wasn't going to be in charge ever. The servant was never going to own the estate. The son would. And thus, the limits of leadership and authority, the steward was limited in some sense. But the son, of course, had authority over the entire estate. And that's the comparison that's being made, right? Christ in his subservience to the Father on earth was even more faithful than Moses. Moses, who made some mistakes, right? We can think about those mistakes that he made in his life, made some errors, committed some sins, was barred from entering the land of Canaan for one of those mistakes. Christ was even more faithful than Moses, who was spoken of so highly by God in Numbers 12. Faithful in all my house, and yet Christ was more faithful than him while being over more things, while having more authority and more ways to mess up, right? Because isn't that what authority means, or power? You just have more ways to mess up than other people. Christ had more ways to mess up, and yet he was still faithful in all respects. And thus, of course, he is better than Moses. Better than Moses as a son is better than a servant. More than that, of course, the relationship between Jesus and his people is better than the relationship between Moses and Israel. Moses did not die for Israel. And yet Jesus, of course, bought his people with his blood, with his death, and his suffering. And so, of course, the relationship that we have with Jesus, the relationship that we have with the Father through Jesus, is much better than the relationship that Israel had with God through Moses. He rules as a son and not a steward. So what? What's the conclusion? The point, as it were. Why does this matter? The Hebrew author then transitions to a comparison with one of the stories of Moses in the Old Testament, Hebrews 3, 7 through 11. Therefore, that bolded underlined, if you are the kind of person to highlight in your Bibles, this would be an interesting thing to do, is have a particular color of highlighter and highlight every time the Bible says, therefore. Because that word is the transition, right? That word is the transition from, this is all true, this is all the theory, this is all the religion, but this is what it means. This is what you do with it. This is why it matters. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. What story is this from? Isn't this from the story of the spies, right? They go into the land of Canaan and they see, the spies see the greatness of the land and they're giants and they're great and they're strong and, oh, we can't do it. Those people are too strong for. Did you not just see the 10 plagues? Did you not just see God turn the water to blood and wipe out the firstborn of Egypt in an instant? What are you thinking, guys? As you're about to go into the land of Canaan, oh, we can't do it. They're too strong. Yeah, for you they are. They're not too strong for God. Do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. Do not go astray in your heart as they did. Moses, as a faithful servant, even they did not listen to him. Though he was so faithful in all God's house, he was faithful to convey exactly what God wanted him to convey. And yet when God says we need to go into, or when Moses says we need to go into the land of Canaan, they rebelled against Moses and Joshua and Caleb. Those spies that were faithful, they rebelled, right? They refused to do it. The warning for us is the inverse of the praise of Jesus. What do I mean by that? Jesus is being praised for being faithful in all God's house. The warning for us is the opposite, right? Will you be faithful? Will you do that? Faithful, there's an interesting play on words here. Faithful or faithless. Jesus and Moses were faithful in all God's house. They obeyed God. They were good stewards of what God entrusted to them. They carried out God's will through faithful, believing hearts. And they did not seek to elevate themselves, but elevated the will of the one who gave them authority. And this is the warning for the readers of Hebrews, who need to be faithful in these ways. This is how we need to be faithful to God, right? Hebrews 3, 12 through 15, take care, brothers, lest in any of you there be an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. The word unbelieving, the Greek apistia, if you're interested, the exact opposite of the word faithful. Now, because English is dumb, we use belief and faith synonymously when there's just one word. Apistia, to be without faith, as opposed to pistis, to be faithful. These are opposite words. To be unbelieving is to be faithless. So he's making a contrast here between the faithfulness of Jesus and Moses as faithful in all God's house, and us, the warning to the reader, do not be faithless. For who were those who heard yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? He had to wander around for 40 years till they all died. Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient, so that we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief? The people of Israel were not faithful. They did not carry out God's will as he wanted them to. Go into the land of Egypt, or the land of Canaan. No, we can't. It's too hard. The opposite of being faithful. And thus they did not enter the rest that Moses could have led them to. And the question would be then, how much more so will this be the case for those who disregard Jesus? If they didn't listen to Moses, who was faithful, and they ended up dying for wandering around for 40 years in the wilderness, what will be our consequence? If we refuse to heed the words of Jesus, more faithful even than Moses, to heed what he has said, what do we imagine God's consequence will be for us? If his consequence for them was wander around for 40 years and die a useless death, what would be our consequence? So our concluding questions then, as we think about the faithfulness, this is what God is looking for in faithful children. Obedience, good stewards of what God has entrusted to us, carrying out God's will through believing hearts, not seeking to elevate yourself, but elevating the will of God. So our concluding questions then, the writer does give us some guidance for how to succeed. What does he say? What does he tell us to succeed? Take care, pay attention, be careful, be intentional about your faith. Take care that there not be in any of you an unbelieving heart. Think about it sometimes, maybe. Think about, take some self-evaluation, some self-examination. Maybe ask some other people, right? Because isn't that what he says in the next one? Exhort one another every day? That we need to care for one another and watch out for one another. Are we being faithful as God would have us be faithful? And if I'm not, I'd like you to point that out, please. Because I would much rather the uncomfortableness of you telling me I'm not being faithful than whatever consequence might result, wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years and then dying. I'd rather you tell me before that happens. Jesus, of course, superseded Moses as the lawgiver of God's people. So why do people still cling to the commandments of Moses? I've wondered this. I wonder this all the time. It's clear throughout Hebrews, and we're going to look at it more as we go through, that Jesus has superseded Moses as the lawgiver of God. Why then do we still cling to the things that Moses said? Moses' things were good, but they are inferior to the things that Jesus said. Why do people know more about what Moses said than what Jesus said? It's just an interesting thought, and we're not going to answer that today ultimately, but just think about that. The final question for us, God gave Moses the task of leading Israel, giving them the law, and he was faithful. He did what God wanted. The question for us must be, what task has God given you in the kingdom? And are you faithful in carrying it out? Now, this is going to apply differently to each of us, right? We all have different talents. We have different roles in the church, different jobs that we might be carrying out. But God has given you a task. And if we think about what it means to be faithful, right, to carry it out obediently, effectively, adherence to the will and the intent of the one who gave you the task, are you being faithful in carrying out whatever task God has given you?